I thought, you know, as part of our kind of ongoing tech series, like our This Old House series of webinars or our podcast, talk about how we pick our disaster assessment demo that we did last episode, where we took and used the USAR symbology to create a disaster assessment feature layer. We did that ArcGIS Pro. So we have all this work we did already building this layer with the symbols that is great. Yeah, so we have all these layers, so we want to use it in a way that's usable for the responder and how we collect this information in the field. And in the ArcGIS environment, there's really two easy ways to collect and manage layers out in the field. There's a program called ArcGIS Collector, and there's another application called Survey123. Now, both these applications are free if you have an ArcGIS online organization account. So the way Esri structures their software is it's now mostly based around this ArcGIS online environment, where your organization pays various levels of subscription costs, and then the apps that support that environment are available to download off your Google Play site or your iTunes store, or you can even do it for Windows and other platforms as well. You even have Linux, if you believe it or not. So you could actually use a lot of those applications and other programs, but it's basically an ecosystem or environment of different applications that support one common layer of our GIS system. The benefit of this is that you can use the same layer or same features in different platforms and get for different workflows and get the same data or the same level of structured data. So this episode, we're going to talk about how we can take our existing layer that we created last episode, move that into a Survey123 environment. Survey123 is a really neat application that I'll demonstrate in a little bit. And it's a very usable, user-friendly application of just a form-based tool that you can use on your phone to collect information about damaged features in this case. So we'll kind of go through the step processes on how to share this layer that I have on my desktop application in ArcGIS Pro, move it to my ArcGIS Online account, and then create a survey based on that feature service or feature layer that I created, and deploying that solution out to the field so that users can deploy and edit it. So I'm going to start with here in ArcGIS Pro. And again, this is where I left off with in the last episode. I have my layers. I have my structured damage assessment layer with my four categories. And I have the database associated with it of the features I collected, but it's all only here on my computer. And so what I want to do is I want to publish that to the web. And again, what you need for this to be successful is you need an organization account for ArcGIS Online. That could be through your organization, it could be through your city, it could be through your fire department could buy it, or your police department can buy it, etc. So you have plenty of options of doing this. So you see here my layers, I'm going to just share it. And it's actually pretty simple. I'm going to hit share, and I'm going to publish a web layer. So hit the web layer button, publish web layer, and I got to create some settings associated with that, or check some boxes. And so I have, in case my title, this is, you know, a summary, and I want to publish it as a feature. There's different types of layer types you can publish. Generally speaking, I just publish a feature layer. What that is a dynamic layer that can edit, I can move around the points on the map. A tile or vector tile is something that's a little bit more static, and we can go through later in a later podcast. I'm gonna share this with everybody. So I actually have the option to share this layer with different groups. So in this case, I'm using my NAPSE Foundation account. Or, you know, so it'll be just shared within the organization of NAPSE. Or I could share it with everybody. Another thing that I need to consider is I wanna make sure that it's editable. So I need to go to the configurations tab. Hit the features button. This actually option just kind of changed recently. It used to be a little bit more apparent, but you have to kind of dig into it. I want to make sure it's enabled to allow editors to edit. Now for Survey123, I also need to enable sync. And I always like to export data as well, just because it's something like that to enable. And so you'll see here what the content will be created in for this. And one last thing I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure that's put in a specific folder in my ArcGIS Online account. In this case, I'm going to put it in a podcast folder. One thing I'm going to do is I'm going to analyze it real quick. I'm going to press the analyze button. And you can see it's going to maybe throw a couple errors in here, and that's fine. It's going to say data source is not supported. This is related to is actually the world imagery base map underneath this feature layer. If I wanted to get rid of this, I could just remove these two layers. And if I hit analyze again, it should throw no errors. In this case,
Chris, I'd like to point out just a couple other things under your settings. When you had under the general tab, you had selected not only the folder where you're going to store the data on your ArcGIS Online account, mm-hmm. but the share with is very important.
Absolutely.
So if you're clicking everyone, that means everyone that has an ArcGIS Online account, whether it be free or a paid subscription, is going to be able to see that data. So you kind of want to keep that in mind when if you're going to share your data with everyone.
Absolutely.
Sensitive data, then you don't want it out there to everyone. The organization of NAPSIG is your organizational account, but then you also have that drop-down menu of groups where you can create a group on your organizational account and share it. Even if you have 100 people in your organization, when you create a group, you invite who you want to be able to see the data in that group. Mm-hmm. So again, if you have 100 people, maybe you're only inviting 5 to that group and only they can see that data. Absolutely. The other option too is, so our organization is that we're doing this demo is under NAPSIG, but you can invite, say, Kirkland Office of Emergency Management. They have their own organization, but you could also invite them into that group under your organization and share that data between the two.
Oh,
so that's kind of important.
Yeah, it absolutely is. It's a huge plus, especially it's a relatively recent update to do that, but it's kind of like analogous to automatic aid or mutual aid. You know, so if you want to do something in the same environment but have some protections, you can create and segregate some of your data or some information in a shared group so that everybody has the same level of information. For example, you know, my department, we might use a group to share pre-planned data with a neighboring department and just give them our data directly versus sharing paper PDFs or have the CAD system set up that syncs like a bunch of pages. In this case, we share the raw data. We don't have to share everything. We just share with them what we want to share. So it's a very neat tool. So I hit go ahead.
I'm sorry. The other thing I want to point out is under the configuration, that enable sync is also very important to understand. So if you do not enable the sync, then the only way for you to bring this data up on a mobile device is if you're connected to the internet.
Yeah.
If you are offline for whatever reason, you don't have a Wi-Fi signal, you don't have a cellular signal, then you're not going to be able to see this data. So the enable sync, what that allows when you click that or check the box, that allows you to be able to download the data to your device. In my opinion, that's very important, especially in public safety, because when we have an emergency, especially something like a hurricane or a tornado, most likely, you know, the power is going to be out and you're not going to have, you know, a cellular signal to be able to get that data and be able to start collecting data in the field. So again, the enable sync allows you to download the data. So A, you could see it on your device, and B, it also allows you to collect the data locally on your device. And then when you get a Wi-Fi or a cellular signal, then it syncs back up to the cloud and syncs up all the data. And now everybody with a device or watching a web map back in an op center type scenario, that data will then populate onto their maps as well. Yeah. So again, enable sync. If you're doing specifically data collection, it's very important.
Absolutely. Thanks for pointing that out, Steve. So I think we're good to go, unless I missed something else, Steve. I think, you know, I analyzed it and it gave me no errors. And I'm just going to publish this layer. So I already logged into my, in this case, my organization account. I hit publish. And you'll have the internet squirrels do a few turns around the wheel. And after just a little bit, you can see that the layer successfully published my account. Let's switch to my account. You'll see that I have a couple layers that were added to my ArcGIS Online account. In this case, I have a podcast damage assessment feature layer and a podcast damage assessment. You'll see here it actually saved to my podcast folder. So I have two quote unquote files. It's really what it is, but this is what's important. So I actually have this on the internet. If you look and open this up in a web map, this is actually on the internet now. I'm going to give you the option to view it in a web map. And Steve and I have been joking that in between the pauses of the refresh and the uploading that we could actually do other podcasts. So, so you see here, let me throw a base map underneath. And you can see here, this is the exact same layer that I had on my desktop, but it's actually posted online now. So from here, I could do a number of things. Actually, you can physically edit it in this web map. And this interface is pretty usable, but admittedly, I don't recommend this for public safety folks to use to edit data because it is, even though it's way simpler than ArcGIS Pro and it's way simpler than the old ArcGIS desktop, it's still pretty generic. And actually, you want for the end user something kind of a bit more usable and focused. So I'm just going to leave this up here. The thing I'm going to do is I'm going to open up an application called Survey123. And to do that, so again, you see here like the web map that is associated with, it has a layer associated with it. But like I said before, it's usable, but not very field friendly. So what you want is, especially with Survey123, you want a application that looks something like this with pull down boxes, check boxes, et cetera, to add to the map. So this follows the same database scheme or database design that we designed in ArcGIS Pro. But what it did is it made controls that are more user-friendly on the to the lay user. So the other neat thing is that now that I'm on ArcGIS Online, multiple people can edit this data all at once. And you see here, if I add, this is the actual survey, and I have the option, this works in a, again, Android, iOS, Windows, works on Windows PCs, Linux, whatever. You can see here, I can move it around the map and I can actually add a point that I want to assess. In this case, I'll just put it randomly in this field here. And then residential, and I'm going to say there's damage to this. I can make a comment like this is a test. And I can say it's collected by Chris. I hit the checkbox to submit it. I have the option to send now or send later. It's just like basically you're sending an email. Since the device is online, I'm just going to hit send now. Now what it does, it goes through and it pushes it to the database. Now, what's neat about this, let's say, for example, I want to go and see, did I actually make the point on the map? And you're going to notice where I live. And Steve's going to do the same thing. He's in New York. And I'm going to scroll into the Seattle area. And let me show just set the visibility so I can have the light turn on at a higher level. And you see here, that point I added on the map is right there with the information attached or associated. So it is pretty neat on how it provides the ability for a simple app-based interface with controls that I can add a feature to the map. And you see here, I can do another thing. I can just add industrial and no damage and add the date and hit send now, pushes it to the internet. If I go back here, oh look, the point just showed up on the map already. So it's, you can see that there's like a ton of possibilities on how you could create a form that's simple to use, just very technically easy. And in the instant, you could actually use this map to show in some kind of visualization, like a dashboard or something like that. We'll show that here in a future episode, but for now, we're just gonna stick to Survey Walkthrough. And so what I did was I kind of baked the cake beforehand so I can kind of demonstrate it. So you can see here the finished demo, finished form, but you know what? I may not like it, you know? And so you can find the expertise on how to edit this form, or I could communicate to somebody else how to do it. So with this, the Survey 123 for ArcGIS is called XLS Forms. And so there's a company application called Survey 123 Connect. And it's basically a Windows application. And actually, I think there is a Mac version of this as well. But it gives you the option to edit that form on how to make it more usable. And let's say, for example, I may be fine with this form, but I may not be fine. And so to orient you to this application, I have what's called Survey Connect 123 Connect for ArcGIS, and I have a ton of forms that are associated with my account. In this case, it's related to the most recent one is usually on the top. In this case, it's podcast demo. If I click on it, it opens up a draft version of that assessment form. And on top, I have some different options. I have a form preview, a schema preview, which I won't get into, and then some settings that I can do to manipulate the final design of the form. I can modify the title or the icon associated with it. We won't get into that now, but there's plenty of tools and online demos that are useful for modifying and customizing this. Matter of fact, I use YouTube videos that Esri puts out. They're very helpful on how to design the form. So let's say I'm going to edit this form. I click this top left-hand button, which is links to Excel. And what's neat about this, it just uses Excel to create the design of the form. And I won't go into too many details, but you can see here, it creates a Excel spreadsheet with four tabs on the bottom and a list of fields, if you will, on the top. So in this tab, it's the survey tab. And basically it's the fields associated with that feature class that I upload. And it gives me a ton of options to the right of the fields on how I could change the design or the usability of the form. So I, for example, could add some additional text like a hint, like this is the date I collected info. And then I could make it required. So like, for example, I can make it required yes or no. And you'll see here, if I close out of here, it'll save it. And what it'll do is it'll regenerate that form, and you'll notice some differences associated with the form that before. In this case, you'll see some text on the bottom. This is the data I collected info, and this little red star, which means that it's required. So if I were to leave this blank, and I just added information when I tested, it's gonna give me an error that the field data collected before, and actually can modify this box as well. So there's a ton of options that you can use to edit the information or to edit the design of the form. So I'm gonna do a couple of things just to make it simple. Maybe, for example, the size of the controls are too big, maybe the list is too long, and I wanna make it small so that all this information ends up in basically one one form layout, so I don't have to scroll too much. So let's say, for example, I want to change this case. I'm going to change the appearance. I want to change the appearance to something else. I want to change it so that it's compact. Change it to compact. Yeah, I'm going to change this one to compact as well. I always thought it'd be nice if this is alphabetized, but it is what it is. Hit exit and hit save. And you see it's going to regenerate this form again. And you'll notice that it's actually a more compact structure. Yeah, you know what? Maybe that works. But I'm going to go back again. Compact actually made it so it's more horizontal. Actually, I was looking for minimal. That's what I was looking for. And you see here, so like the structure type is a series of radio buttons that I could use, which is not going to present very well in a phone device because it's going to go across, or it'll actually go into the separate columns. But then I have a pull-down option as well. So I'm going to go ahead and be fine with that. I'm gonna go ahead and publish it. What this does is it republishes this form to my ArcGIS Online account so I can use it. If I just hit the publish button, I'm gonna check some things. It's gonna, in this case, overwrite the existing survey on my online. It's published. And if I go back here to survey 123 for ArcGIS, just the regular app version, I can download it and update it version. So I'm going to go back one more. I'm going to download a survey. You'll see that my huge list of surveys that I got access to, you're going to see that the icon changed to a, basically this is indicate that there's a more updated version of that survey online. I'm going to download it. Then I'll start using it again. And you see that the controls actually changed. I have the pull down for this. And actually this isn't too bad. It does put it in columns. And I can do an update. Hit submit. Oh, told me that I need to collect it if you'll send now. And you see that just popped up on my map right there. So you see that Survey123 is a neat, very neat tool. You can get and spend a lot of time and energy creating a form design that's very useful for the lay user to collect actual GIS data and have it so that they can go out the field, collect something, publish it, and somebody, some decision makers can use this information back in a command post or something. EOC. The next thing we want to kind of show, again, we wanted to show like how user friendly it is and the fact that you can use this application on multiple devices. So Steve's going to demonstrate how to use his iPad. He's emulating his iPad through Windows, but it's the same thing where you can see his iPad and manipulate the data with it.
So what I did was in Survey123 on my mobile device, my tablet, I consumed Chris's map, so now I have it on my iPad. And Chris and I are across the country from each other, but again, because of all the data and the application is going through the cloud, anybody could use it. So I'm just zooming into the Seattle area. I'm going to select that's where I'm located. I'm going to select my date. I'll just say this is an industrial building. There is damage to that building. I could put in comments if I wanted to. And then I'm going to enter my name as the person that collected the data. And then I hit the check mark at the bottom. Again, it gives me a few options. I could send it later, or I could send it now, or I could, you know, go back and you know, make any changes. I realize it's a commercial building. So I'm going to switch that to commercial. I'm going to send it now. The data that I just collected gets uploaded to ArcGIS Online and synchronized up there.
Yeah, so after Steve, 3,000 miles away, collected some information, now you can see on the map the information he collected is actually represented on the map as well. You see in the Seattle area right here. So you can see here, what's really neat is that multiple companies, multiple units, multiple task level employees can collect data, bring it together, and represent something that's tangible and supportive of decision makers at a higher level. It could be an EOC, command post, et cetera. So I think our next episode, what we'll do is go over how we could use and represent this data in like a dashboard environment, similar to using our ArcGIS Online account, and also what are some options that we can to also view and extract this data. So in short, we have a map and some data that's usable on a web map and inside the ArcGIS Online mapping application. But as you see here, it's just points on a map. And what we want to do get to is something that's a little bit more usable for decision makers, something we do analysis on, something if we change the extent of this map, it'll give us some information that's tangible, and also relate it to other information that's associated with this. So like we can determine like what are the number of vulnerable populations in a certain given category, in a certain specific area, or we can use it to other data to associate with this data. So what we want is to carry this bit of field collected information further into a usable dashboard, if you will. That's exactly what we'll be creating next time. So do you have anything else, Steve?
Clearly demonstrates though how multiple users can be, collecting data, and how we start to, we started off with just having the data on your local machine and creating it ourselves, but now we're bringing in those users, they're collecting data. And, again, we demonstrated it between yourself and me collecting the data, but you could have 50 guys going out surveying data and damage assessment and now starting to bring all this data into a common web map. So on our next episode, we'll really start to show creating a web application where everybody could see all the data as it's being collected. And again, that could be on somebody's mobile device or within an operations center that's activated because of this emergency.
Cool. So thanks for listening. Again, we're going to post this demonstration both on our podcast and on YouTube.
This is Chris and Steve.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mapping Tech and Public Safety. Please visit our blog at mappingtechandpublicsafety.com.